For Ninjara Bank, I'm Gracia Espinosa, and welcome to this episode on the Red Cloud Podcast, Hannah Theodore, the editor of the Ninjara Bank. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Gracia. Thank you so much for having me back on the show.
Yeah, because the last podcast we did together, it was on December.
Yeah, right before the holiday break.
Yeah.
We had a special year-end two-parter.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well, you know that right now all the students are with their final projects, the exams. So we would like to, you know, to share with all our audience about our experience with the exams, projects, and how we overcame the situation. And yeah, Hannah, you have just told me that you have studied here in Fanshawe, but in Western University.
Yeah.
So I don't know how is this moment of the year for you, because in the university I understood that you have more exams than projects or assignments. So here in Fanshawe I noticed that instead of exam you have a lot of projects and assignments. So in your case, how you could balance projects and exams, or you know?
It's so true. It was very different. Fanshawe was a lot more practical, mm-hmm. which is nice. Like I like a project. I like being able to like go away and do my own thing. And over a period of time, right? Like you have like weeks or days to get something done.
Yeah.
Which I think definitely helps, especially a lot of the programs at Fanshawe are more practical, yeah. right? So I was in the broadcast journalism program. So those like end of year projects were very like, you were actually doing stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like big mm-hmm. audio projects and video projects and stuff that it was nice. I like that approach. Exams, I feel like, this is the thing, is like I wasn't bad at exams at Western, but I really didn't enjoy the process.
Yeah, always. I don't know, but in my experience, always when I have to fill the answer of a question in exam, it's easy. But for me, the worst thing in the world is a quiz. Or a test.
Oh, yeah. Well, multiple choice.
Multiple choice is the worst for me.
It is the worst. The only exam I ever failed in university was a multiple choice exam. Because it's hard. It's so much harder than, even essay exams,
mm-hmm.
I much preferred. And like short answers, because there's a formula, right?
Yeah.
I learned this great tip. So if anyone out there is writing an essay exam or an exam with like short answer questions, I learned this in high school and it saved my butt in university. Usually if something about the framing of the question. So if the question comes in like two or three parts, right? You know how like sometimes a short answer question will be like, what is the meaning of blah, 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 and blah, 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 and how does it apply to blah, blah, blah? Your answer should come in three parts too, right? So if there's three parts to the question, that's how you should answer your short answer question, right? Similarly with essay questions, right? Like you just take that idea and expand it and make it bigger, right? Because usually if you got a big essay question, they want at least like, you know, a couple pages of handwriting, which, God, how exhausting is that?
No, it's a good tip. But in my case, if I have to give a good tip for exam, a multi-choice test or quiz, in my case, I will suggest not overthink.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking. I mean, if you know the answer from the beginning,
yeah,
don't spend your time, because sometimes, I mean, if you are doing an online quiz or an online test, you have a time. So you cannot spend all your time in one question. So go ahead and always, I don't know if you agree with me, always try to answer all the questions.
Oh yeah, at least give it your best effort.
Yeah.
Especially like multiple choice, yeah.
Depends, because there are professors who prefer to, they prefer that you answer, but others prefer, no, if you don't know, I prefer that you don't answer, because if not, your mark is going to be lower, so.
I mean, you're gonna lose marks either yeah. way, so especially on a multiple choice, just guess, right? Guess if you got a multiple choice and you genuinely don't know the answer, because you've got a 1 in 4 chance of getting it right, mm-hmm. right? If you're writing an essay exam and you have or a short answer exam or something like that, put something, yeah. right? Because again, when I talk about these short answers where it's like your question, and maybe there's like three, there's probably three or four facts that the professor wants to see you know mm-hmm. in your answer, right? Mm-hmm. At least try to get one of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if the question is like, what year did this thing happen and what was the significance of the event? If you can only remember the significance, just write that.
One of my professors in my university told me the worst thing that I can see in exam is a question without any kind of answer, because it means that you have no idea. So if the same, if you only know the first part of the question or only the second one, but answer, because yeah. you are going to give a bad impression to, yeah. to your professor.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like you have a better chance of getting partial marks mm-hmm. if you put something than putting nothing and then getting no marks. Right. I also think like, in terms of studying for those kinds of exams too, and this is why it's good to have a little bit of knowledge, right? You should at least kind of know your stuff. And I think the best way to prepare for an exam and to know you're truly ready is if you can talk about the thing you're studying, right? Like, see if you have a friend. You don't want a friend who wants to just hold up cue cards and have you answer questions. That's boring. You want to sit and have a conversation with them and teach them about your topic. Because if you can do that, that means that you can write it down too, right?
I like that.
It's a great strategy, especially if you're in like sociology or English or something that requires a lot of like analysis and critical thinking. Like, just find someone who will listen to you talk about it, because then you know. You're like, I got this.
I don't know if it's usual here, but for example in my country there are students who, for example, they have to talk about an episode of the history, or they have to memorize, right? So instead to memorize the exact words they can find in a book, they record how they explain that episode of the history mm-hmm. and after that they go to bed and they listen how they explain it mm-hmm. and
smart.
They record how they did it.
Yeah.
And after that, they listen how they did it and they can fix it. Oh, I forgot, I missed. Because sometimes you can write when you remember in your mind how you did it in your home or when you talk with a friend.
Yeah.
So, and there are people who memorize only with their own voice. And I think it's curious.
That's really interesting. I think you mentioned another good point too that I always tell people, which is, if you do all of your studying in a day, right, and then say you go take a practice exam, because sometimes you have that opportunity, right, like you get to practice. I find what happens is if you study all day and then you take the practice exam, like you're gonna fail. You fail the practice exam. But if you study all day and then go to bed and then take the practice exam the next day, you'll probably pass, because you need to like let the information absorb. I do think our brains are only capable of like taking in a certain amount of information at a time. And like, if you push it, you're going to stop taking in anything, right?
And when you studied here, Hannah, did you study in the morning or at night?
That's a great question. I feel like I studied a lot more during the day. I generally am more productive during the day. I'm not like a night working person. I like being like, I like sitting at a desk. And when I was in university, I really liked going to public places because there's like pressure, you know, like you're like, don't look at me slacking. Like I want everyone to like see me being a good student. So I used to go to King's University because I lived nearby to King's. And they have this like beautiful atrium in like one of their main buildings. I used to go sit in there during the day, and I would stay there and I'd order food. I'd just like hang out all day.
I ask you because the researchers say the best moment to study, it's always in the morning. I mean, it doesn't matter if you want to do it at night, because there are people who prefer to study or to work at night. But science say your brain is going to... is going to memorize, so it's going to work in the morning early than at night, and you have time between when you go to bed and you wake up. That's the moment that your brain is going to rest. Mm-hmm. So when you wake up, you're going to be to feel fresh to capture more information, to study again. But it's only what science say.
No, but this is, it's true. Like, this is why it's always a good idea to be like actively studying, mm-hmm, all term long. And I don't mean that like you have to be sitting down reading, yeah, and going, just pay attention throughout your entire term, right? Because your brain can, that's why these courses exist, right? So you learn all semester and then you go over everything again before the exam, and then you're ready for the exam. If you're actively taking it in the whole time, that helps you absorb it over time, right? Rather than like trying to cram it all in at once, which, you know, it's hard. I like, who among us has not like skipped class or like, you know, said I'm not going today, or, you know, I'll just, and then you do that again and again and again.
Yeah, I mean, one
maybe
day,
I'm just talking about my experience.
It doesn't matter. I mean, for one day, two, maximum two, yeah, it's okay. It's not the end of the world, but try not to do it,
yeah,
more than 2 weeks.
Well, because especially if you're in like analytical courses, your professors are going to be telling you their opinions and their analysis and their critiques. Then like, if you just listen to what they're saying, whether you agree with it or if you disagree with it, they just want to know you were paying attention, right? So going to, and especially in university, if you're out there and, you know, I know we've got students here that are both at university and here at Fanshawe, go to your tutorials. Oh my God, go to your tutorials.
Oh my God, there are students who go to the to both institutions. I mean, they, oh my God,
there
at the same
crossover
time
programs.
Oh my gosh, no way. Yeah, no, I cannot concede that.
I did it. I broke it up. I was like all Western, and then I took 2 years off, and then I came to Fanshawe.
That's for me easier.
Yeah, you got to break it up.
Some people are brave.
The nursing program, I think, is one that's split up.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
No, because for example, here you have to submit a project, mm-hmm, and the project is not something that you can do it like an exam in one day.
Yeah.
You know, so it takes time to prepare everything. For example,
yeah,
there are students who want to shoot for. I mean, I'm talking about the students of broadcasting journalism. They want to shoot an event here in FSU, I mean, in Oasis or in Outback Shack. And you cannot appear suddenly and, hey, I want to record or to shoot this. No, you need the permissions, you need to ask. So it takes time to prepare and to organize the interviews,
yeah,
and everything. So
and I will also say, as someone who did the broadcast program, an FSU event is not a story. Guys, do better. Like, bless all you young journalists out there. You are not going to get a good mark. And if you want a good mark, you need to dig a little deeper, right? If your story is about an FSU event, here's a great example, because we've all been there. If you're in the broadcast program, I need you to know, I've been in your situation. You got to get a story out on the wire. You didn't have time to plan ahead, so you show up at an FSU event and say, this is my story now. Okay, I did that at Christmas when I was a student. I came to an event, Santa was there, and it was a very cute time. There were students everywhere, and I was like, I said, okay, this is an event. This is happening. That's not really a story. A thing happening is not really,
yeah,
a story, right? Well, but the story was, I spoke to an international student and it was their first Christmas ever in Canada.
That's a story,
right?
Yeah.
You have to find the person who's actually going to talk to you and not just like show up and be like, this thing happened, right?
Yeah. Because, well, students of broadcast journalism, they have to submit a different story 8 weeks,
yeah,
and the final project is like an audiovisual report with a minimum of, I mean, 10-15 minutes, so it, yeah, takes time to prepare, to organize, to edit, to shoot. So it's not like that's the only good thing of the exam, because you only have to go to write the answers And that's it.
This is the thing. It's like there's pros and cons to both, because I agree. There's something so satisfying about, like, you know, when you have all your exams up on the calendar and then you knock them off day by day, and every time there's a new one down and you're done and it's behind you. I used to always say, like, because I used to get real worked up before exams. And I got to this place, especially by like my fourth year. I was like, at this point, I've done all that I can do. I prepared as much as I feel capable of preparing. Mm-hmm. It's in the universe's hands now, right? You just kind of have to let it go, right? And then you get out and you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt good, but who could say, right? And honestly, I think that's the best place for you to be, because I think what a lot of students get wrong about this time of year, or what they struggle with, is that they put a lot of stake into things, right? And I get it. It's nerve-wracking. Exams are not designed to be fun, and they're certainly high-stress environments. God, they're high-stress environments, cramming you into a big gymnasium with a bunch of people, and, like, it sucks. It's not fun, right? But you can't, like, let it stress you out to the point that, because that is when you are least capable of remembering information, right? As if you're just stressed out.
And at the same time, another way that I think, I mean, we were talking about to refresh the brain, you know, but people forget that it's very good working out, you know, when you are studying. I mean, if you cannot focus, if you need to take a break, yeah. It's good if you want to go to the gym or you want to run, because I love to write scientists, researching and everything. And they say that people who got the best marks in the school and the highest school or in the university, they were people who always, you know, were studying, but at the same time, they working out. So I think it's interesting that, hey, so I mean, like, you don't have to avoid, you know, your working out gym.
I think your physical health and your, like, mental health are super related, right? So yeah, definitely, like, through your studying process, like, eat well, right? Like, there's a tendency that, like, while I'm studying, so I'm just gonna, like, eat crap food because it's nearby or whatever, but it's like, trust me, like, you'll feel better if you feed your brain properly, and you're still studying even if you walk away and go for a walk, right? Because that's when you start thinking about the information, right? Those times where you actually step away are good for your brain.
I have just remembered when I was, you know, when I had to study at night and I drank my first Monster. Oh my gosh. The first and the last one.
It's rough. Oh, oh my God, Gracia, I cannot even imagine you on an energy drink.
No, me either. No, it was a big mistake, because it's the moment that you are so exhausted and at the same time you cannot sleep.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I think I'm going to try the... No, never again.
And
never
it doesn't again. Help, right? Like, you get that caffeinated and then it's just like you're not even... Again, you're not taking in information, right? Because you're just forcing yourself to stay awake, and that's not helpful.
No, it was, I mean, I had like...
So sorry.
No, it's I mean, sometimes you have to feel by yourself experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And the experience with the Monster, it was the first one and the last one, that's it. So, and I had the same problem with Red Bull, so that's why I always say the same. I understand that you are tired, that you have to study at night, but try to avoid that kind of drinks.
Yeah.
don't
do it. It's not
worth
it.
There are people who are very, very addictive, eh?
It's true. I think, like, I mean, I was ripping pretty intense coffees when I was in university. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, like, getting, like, quad shot freaking venti espressos and stuff.
I mean.
But, like, I don't do that. Eventually, you gotta cool it with that.
I mean, the same. One, two. It doesn't matter. The problem is when you need that kind of drink every day, you know, not only for the exams, it's, you know, in your routine. That's the problem for me. So
yeah, I mean, I have a caffeine. I'm like bad caffeine addicted, but it's fine. I'm at like a normal place. I think like 2 cups in the morning is normal.
I think,
but like
maximum it will be like 3. Yeah. And the last caffeine that your last caffeine shot should be at 5 p.m., not after 5 p.m.
See, and so I'm like, as I approach 30, it's like after 12. Yeah. And if I have a third one, I'm going to be up all night. Like, it's seriously, like, in the morning, it's like I just needed to survive. And then after that, it's like, now you've crossed the threshold. It's yeah. too much.
Because this is the mistake that I made when I was young, okay? Because I wanted to study, but I felt very tired. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to study at night, but I am not a person who can study at night.
Yeah.
So in that moment I drank a coffee at 8, 9 p.m. because I wanted to study at night, but at midnight I was like, no, impossible.
Yeah.
And I was trying to sleep like 2-3 hours, and the next day I had the exam or I had to study again, and I was so tired. So I always say the same, try to follow your rhythm. I mean, if you're a person who prefers to study in the morning, but your colleagues or your classmates or friends prefer to do it at night, it's okay. I mean, we are different, so not try to do the same like your students, because it doesn't work.
That's a great point. I think in general is like, don't let other people influence you.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in how other people are doing, right? Like, all that matters is how you're doing and if you feel prepared. This especially is pertinent when you're in your exam.
Yeah.
Because I was that person who was done first. And then I used to feel weird. I would get up and I'd go hand it in and everyone was still writing. But I realized I never did badly on those exams. I just write really fast. And that's how my brain works. And that's okay. Right. So don't let, especially when when you're studying, don't let other people influence you. And also when you're in the exam, don't let other people influence you. Right.
Because sometimes you need more time to study a lesson. And there are other people who for them, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So take your time. If you need 2 hours more than your classmate, it's okay.
Yeah.
The most important at the end is that you need to pass the exam and the program. I mean, if it is possible with the higher marks, and I love a quote that my mom always told me when I was in Spain, and it's like, try to do your best with the time you have, you know?
Yeah.
That's the most important. So if you only have 2 months to prepare exam, or perhaps 1 month, try to do your best with that time.
Yeah. And I will just say, on to kind of like, as we like approach the end here, if you do fail, because I did, like I said, I failed an exam my first year of university, which is like the worst, right? Because I was at that point, I wasn't like adjusted yet. I was very like 19 years old, and then you fail an exam in university. It sucks. I called my dad crying, just weeping into the phone, and my dad was like, what's the matter, what's going on? And like through tears I'm like blubbering, and I was like, dad, like I failed an exam. And he was like, oh, I thought you were gonna tell me something important. And it put it into perspective for me, right? Because obviously it is important, in the end it is important, but in the grand scheme of things it is fixable, because in the end I passed the class, I finished my first year. And 3 years later, I got my BA.
Yeah.
And I barely even remember that I failed that exam.
I think it's because in the higher school, if you fail, it's really a drama.
But
in the
university,
it's super normal to fail. It's normal.
And there are workarounds, right?
Yeah.
Like if you fail, sometimes there's a makeup opportunity. Sometimes you can appeal the exam, right? Like don't think that just because, if you do fail, I know it hurts and I know it sucks, but it's so cliche to say it, but it's not the end of the world. Especially here at Fanshawe, if you mess up an assignment or if you mess up an exam, I promise everyone just wants you to succeed, right? Your teachers want you to succeed. The institution wants you to succeed. So, you know, use that as a learning experience and an opportunity to say, I messed up this time, but I don't want to do that
again.
But I
can do it next time.
And
yeah,
you can find
course.
Another way to make up for it. So as much as it hurts, please don't like get down on yourself if you do fail, because there are ways to like, and in the end it's not going to matter. Here I am more than 10 years later talking about it with you, and I'm like laughing about it, right? I didn't feel like laughing at the time, but I'm laughing now. So just remember that, put everything into perspective, you're going to be fine.
So thank you so much, Hannah, and thank you for listening to another episode of the Red Couch Podcast. You can catch up with every episode on our website or wherever you get your podcast. Watch full episodes on our YouTube channel and subscribe to our newsletter to keep up with Function. For the Interrobank, I'm Gracia Espinosa.